Tax equity really invests about 55 to 65% of the original contract value, or original project value. And so they're looking, when they want to invest their capital into a renewable project, a long-term stream contract. Historically, that came from utilities. That was anywhere from 15 to 20 years. The industry has really evolved over the last couple years, and those, you know, terms and conditions of different offtake contracts have started to shift a little bit. But really, kind of the minimum driver for what determines the length of a PPA or any sort of offtake contract is roughly about 10 years, which is the same amount of time that tax equity is invested in order to receive the production tax credit on renewable projects. So they're the ones sort of driving this. I'm sure folks have heard about the PTC wind down and step down. As that continues to happen, I think we'll start to see a little bit of a shift in the industry. Well, revenue contracts will not have to be that same 10-year length. We'll start to see more and more people being able to offer shorter-term revenue contracts to customized buyers who maybe don't want to sign up for a 10-year deal but are interested in a 5-year deal or a shorter-term deal, and then the owner of that project being able to take on that risk for the long-term revenue of the project. So I like to kind of generically bundle the types of buyers into three main buckets. The first is utilities. This is kind of your classic buyer. This is the buyer that really kind of started the renewable energy industry. Their job is really to deliver electricity to their customers. I kind of say this is anything. This is an investor-owned utility, a rural electric co-op, a muni, anybody who's got the responsibility to deliver electricity to their customers. They're very strong in regulated markets, but they also have a foothold in some deregulated markets. And they're often regulated by government organizations like a public utility commission or a public service commission. This kind of allows them to not be run by a monopoly. So most of their procurement activities are driven by RFPs. They have to be very diligent in demonstrating that they've gone out to the market, they've looked at all the available projects in their area, and they've sourced the best that's going to be the optimal deal for them and their customers. The second kind of market entrance is generically kind of this corporate and industrial buyer. This was not a buyer until about 2015 when they started to come in, driven largely by a lot of the large tech companies, the Microsofts, the Facebooks, the Googles. They started saying, hey, you know, we're not seeing a national energy policy and we want to go green, so we'll start procuring renewable energy. They've definitely started to push the envelope, and since then we've seen lots more companies now, everybody from Vail Ski Resorts, Avery Dennison, lots of small, Johnson & Johnson, the list can go on and on, but lots of small companies that are making choices to procure renewable energy, either to kind of hedge their long-term energy costs or to kind of make a public statement about wanting to be green. And then the last investor kind of bucket of somebody you can get an offtake contract with long-term is generically like a financial player, a financial institution. These are basically just hedge agreements. They've been in the energy industry for a long time. It wasn't until the last maybe 5 years, 8 years that they kind of started figuring out how they could do it with the renewable products. But they're kind of the Goldman Sachs, the Bank of America, the JP Morgans, et cetera, that kind of really are looking at it as a commodity play. They're only active in very transparent liquid markets. So like, for example, here in ERCOT and PJM, but they're not active in markets like Colorado, which is a heavily regulated market. So depending on where your project is located, you may or may not have access to these different types of buyers. When you kind of look at these three main buyers, they really have different drivers of why they're procuring. It's not all the same thing. The utilities are really buying for a couple reasons, state and local policies. You know, a lot of different states have enacted renewable portfolio standards. That's driven quite a few of the utilities to want to procure renewables, as well as some cities now have made public statements about wanting to be 100% renewable or some target renewable. We've seen that increasing over the last year and a half, 2 years, as we have been unable to achieve sort of a national energy policy. States and local governments are kind of starting to pick that up and figure out how they can do it themselves. Additionally, as we've seen the cost of renewables declining, first wind, and now we're really seeing the cost of solar declining quite rapidly, the utilities are starting to realize that on a cost-for-cost basis, if they need to build new energy sources to meet a growing load or a growing demand, it's as cost-effective for them to buy a renewable as it would be a carbon-based energy. And then the third driver for utilities is really customer demand. Customers are getting more interested in wanting renewables in their portfolio. Like I said, there is this product that they can go offer outside the utility, a virtual power purchase agreement. We'll get into that. But if you're in a regulated market and you don't have access to one of those, you might want your utility to procure renewables so that you can feel like, as a company, you're buying your energy from somebody that has some portion of renewables. And then there's the C&I buyer market. You know, they've really been driven by a couple things: brand reinforcement, employee retention and recruitment. It's just really about making a statement and sticking to it and saying, you know, we believe in going green, and so we're going to kind of put our money where our mouth is and do that. It's obviously economically beneficial for them. They're not doing it, you know, because they're completely green. They are, you know, it is a good hedge for them against rising energy costs. They can lock in an energy price today for a 10-year contract. And the way that the contracts work is that as the market prices go up, they're capturing that value there, and they can take that revenue that they're capturing from that spread between what they're paying today and what market price might be in 5 years or 10 years and put that money towards their energy costs. And then the last is financial institutions. They're really doing it to try to generate revenue and, again, capture that spread between a locked-in price today and where they expect future revenues to go.